The animal rights activist group PETA chose Sharon Needles as the face of their Halloween ad campaign, asking people not to be flesh-eating zombies. How can a drag queen work for PETA and still serve up fish?
Like most over-the-top PETA campaigns, Sharon's appearance is getting roasted by people that think the organization is filled with blowhards looking for a little attention. Today, Sharon Needles joins us to talk about why she did the campaign, her passion for being vegetarian, and how to turn chopped-up body parts into the ultimate fashion accessory.
Her reaction to the tragic death of Sahara Davenport, hanging out in a club with Lindsay Lohan, and what we can expect from Drag Race All-Stars.
Plus, yes on Proposition 37, let's get genetically modified foods labeled so we know what we're eating.
High fashion shoes made out of human teeth.
And Alaska Thunderfuck pops in to talk about what their sex life is really like.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Mm-mm-mm. Feast of Fun is made possible because of the financial support of our subscribers. Sharon Needles subscribes to the show, and so does her mom. Why don't you?
Listen to all our interviews with Sharon Needles and many of the fabulous queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, including RuPaul, by upgrading to a Feast of Fun Plus account. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and get yourself some podcasting realness.
Sharon Needles Incorporated, this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon Needles, it's Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun.
Hi, I noticed that you are now the new spokes ghoul for PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Well, I wouldn't call myself a spokes tranny, but I would definitely, admit to the obvious fact that I did collaborate with them on something that was very important to me, and that is the treatment of animals in commercial farming.
But Sharon, how can a drag queen work for PETA and still serve up fish?
Well, if you've ever seen a photograph of me, you know I've never served fish a day in my life.
I've seen carp that look a little bit like you.
But I'm so ugly, I serve tofu, and that's the truth.
So what's been the reaction to the ad so far? I mean, it just posted today.
Right. It's been the majority of the response to the PETA ad has been negative.
Why? Really?
People hate PETA, though. It's not kind of...
People hate PETA. They hate them. They're not down with the PETA scene, you know? But what's funny is neither was I. I was always kind of one of those people that rushed to judgment and kind of bashed PETA. But I had a meeting with them in Norfolk, Virginia, I think it was last April, and I stressed my opinion. I said, I don't think I want to work with you. You guys are a little too in your face. You're a little too brash. You're a little too crude. You're a little too politically motivated. And they said, Sharon, we understand your concerns. And they said, Sharon, even we find ourselves to be really severe, and we find ourselves to be over the top, but for anyone to pay any attention to us, sometimes we have to go above and beyond the call of duty of shock art to get anyone to listen. And then they said, Sharon, do you think you could understand anything about that? And I was like, well, maybe just a little bit.
And then they wrote you a big fat check.
So then it kind of hit me. I was like, even PETA's in on their own joke. Even PETA can sometimes be its biggest enemy and realize that, bad press is great press. But I'll admit, the negative response to this is, I could care less, They're not calling me a racist.
Sharon Needles hates animals, humans. I'm not sure what it's going on right now.
Well, humans I hate equally, regardless of religious creed, class or race. But animals are something that don't speak. They don't speak languages, and they have no way to to deliver the message that they don't want to be kept in cages. They don't want to spend their lives shitting on each other and driving themselves insane and in small cages just to meet a really unfortunate demise. And I don't agree with everything PETA says. I have no problem with hunting. I have no problem with actually people eating animals. I just wanted to bring awareness to people that don't really think about how their dinner ended up on their plate. And I wanted to remind them that, you know, in American meat markets, it's not a happy cow who raised her little babies and decided that, you know, one day she was going to fall in the unfortunate hands of a hunter. The most of our meat lives a very, very unhappy life. I don't care about death because I don't believe in the afterlife, but I definitely care about life, not just for humans, but for all creatures. And I don't believe in slavery in any kind, and that goes for our four-footed friends as well.
So let's be real clear here. Did you get paid to do the ad campaign, or did you donate your time and money?
I was paid nothing.
Okay, because there's people like going, she got paid.
Well, it says the campaign I'm donating my rotten face for is the Dead Things Should Be Buried, Not Eaten campaign.
Exactly, and with what PETA pays on advertising, I probably should have been paid, but but I wasn't, and that was a big concern of mine too. I did not want to make this seem like a publicity stunt or anything like this. And, you know, I'm the first person to agree with anyone who gave me any backlash that there are some things to be concerned about with PETA. My thing is, I have a message to say about animal slavery for American meat markets. And PETA is the most vocal, brash, and offensive group out there. And so I kind of connect with that.
I'm wondering, you know, now that have you here and the fact that there's so much attention on PETA and you, maybe we can actually draw to a little common ground and draw people's attention to Proposition 37 in California right now, which is being proposed to label genetically modified foods, which we all can agree on deserve no place on our dinner table or on our grocery store shelves. And a lot of those vegetarian meals that you eat at Whole Foods actually have genetically modified foods.
And dyes and all sorts of things that we're not aware. I mean, as a drag queen, I live a life of excess. I slather my face in chemicals every night while teasing a plastic wig and enjoying a ridiculous amount of chemicals that I flood straight into my bloodstream. But when it comes to nourishment, and especially with children, we really need to be aware of what the fuck we're sticking in our mouth, you know?
Well, things have certainly changed.
I only want to question the dick in my mouth, not my dinner.
You should take a look at that dick before you put it in your mouth, too, just in case. But the thing about it is like, you know, right now, genetically modified organisms by the evil, super evil corporation, if there ever was one, Monsanto, that you remember Agent Orange for Vietnam. There are the company who said there's nothing wrong with Agent Orange, which is a herbicidal killer that also lends itself to giving birth defects and all sorts of horrible problems. Anyways, right now they've been spending the last 30 years putting, you know, fish DNA into tomatoes, but more importantly, trying to get the patent on corn, wheat, and soy and rice and other grains. And so vegetarians actually should be the most alarmed about this because so much of their diet not necessarily comes from plants, but from grains.
Mm.
And actually, if you are really sincerely caring about the environment, it's been shown that being a vegetarian diet actually is very bad for the environment.
Because, how so?
Because it actually, it kills it's the grains that are the problem, not the fact that we are using those grains, wheat, soy, and corn, to feed the cows. And if we actually allow those cows just to feed on grass, which is what they're supposed to be eating, then we wouldn't devastate our environment so severely. And actually, a Paleolithic diet or a paleo diet is really if you really want to be ethically conscious and morally conscious and environmentally conscious, having a varied diet with very little grains in it is the best way to go.
That's kind of the diet I've switched to, though. It's, you know, meat, but still I want to get my green vegetables
in. Are you done reading your Wikipedia page?
Let's talk about.
And isn't this a, you know, we're talking about what I like to call white people problems right now, and it's so bizarre to think that there are countries that are that would do anything to have a McDonald's, a completely scientifically made hamburger to dine on. And we're so scientifically and biologically advanced to know how to manipulate plants and animals. When it boils down to it, I say we have such an advanced culture that I think we can connect with a much more humane way of putting things we want into our mouths. This is the topic, though. Let's say my dreams came true and all the animals from every commercial farmer set free. Where the fuck would they go? What would we do with them?
Fuck them.
Would they just run rampant through Milwaukee and Chicago and Des Moines?
Well, I think they would probably have to come up with some kind of final solution, like, you know, Hitler did.
Well, I think the final solution is eating them, but actually...
Yeah. Well, that's funny you bring up Hitler, because someone Facebooked me today relating something, I think, and I can't back this up because I don't follow PETA because I have a life, but someone said that someone from PETA had compared the American meat market to the Holocaust, as to, you know, just lining them up and giving them a number and putting no merit to who they are as creatures. And,
well, we had a guy from PETA on the show once before, and we had talked with him about, like, well, if it's okay to, like, not eat animals or use animal products, is it okay to swallow somebody's jizz? And he had to, like, think about it.
What was his answer to that?
His answer was, like, well, as long as that person can give you consent for you to swallow their jizz.
And a lot of people are writing me a lot of backlash about that too, saying, you know, PETA says people shouldn't have pets, and of course I'm a pet owner. I'm also a fur wearer and leather owner. I buy a lot of fur from independent hunters, and I believe in hunting, and
well, don't you like own that. A gun too?
What's that?
Don't you own a gun? Aren't you a member of the NRA or something?
Well, no, not of this time. Not at this time. I drink too much to own a gun.
Have you ever shot a gun?
You only want to play with them after that shot you shouldn't have taken, you know? But my thing wasn't about me being 100% backing PETA. You know, I don't 100% back Logo. I don't 100% back Out Magazine. I don't 100% back Feast of Fun.
Come on, girl. Listen, we got your back. Let me say one thing, though. I think it's actually
communication comes from compromise, and I had a message to say, and I was willing to compromise, and they were willing to compromise with me.
I think that's a very mature way of looking at things. And I have to say, for PETA to choose you as a spokesperson, even if it's a, you know, temporary collaboration, whatever you want to call it, I think it's a really it's a maturation of the group, because they're having nuance and having somebody who pokes a lot of fun at herself, like you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And someone who's been accused of being uncaring as well. And when it boils down to it, when I look into the eyes of pigs, cows, chickens, and ducks, and, you know, I'd rather give them a hug than stick them into my mouth. But at the same time, I allow my mind to shift to understand humanity, and I respect anyone who can take a machine, go out into the woods, find a deer, shoot him in his face, rip its skin off, rip its eyeballs out, rip its bones from its flesh, make it hot and stuff it down its child's throat. That I also respect. So this is more about the American consumption of animals and just trying to open up the eyes of people who go get their late night chicken nuggets after night at the bar. I just want them to know where that chicken came from. That's it, you know. I have no problems with meat eaters, fur traders, leatherers, butchers. I just demand that there be a more humane approach to what we're doing. But because of the supply and demand in our ridiculous country that pretty much thrives on it works now, but it will fail later attitude, there's no answer.
Well, the answer is to
my fans can open their eyes and try and choose an alternative to the way we treat animals is a-okay by me.
I think the answer is to label our grains as genetically modified is a first step. Second step is to not allow these lobbies, the wheat, corn, soy lobby, to allow it to feed cows and chickens and everything. You know,
and you have to realize this is a hard thing for me to talk about because I come from Iowa, from a long lineage of farmers who grew not so much sweet corn, but feed corn, which was corn genetically modified. And I'm talking from the 50s on. This is longer than you think to feed livestock.
I mean,
my grandfather, who I love dearly and spent, 60 years of his life owning the largest farm in the largest county in Iowa, Kossuth County, and who has been awarded for fighting hunger in Catholic organizations from his cornfields as creating most of his, more than 90% of his fields were designed for feeder corn for animals to fatten them up and make them insane.
You try to get us to go vegetarian for a day. Last time we talked on the phone, and I have to actually say I was actually vegetarian for 7 years and vegan for 5 of those years. Oh. So I definitely know what I'm talking about when I say that human beings
bottom for 4 of them.
But I know what I'm talking about when I say human beings are not created. Our digestive systems are not meant to be vegan. That we want and benefit from an omnivorous diet.
Well, then why are our primate relatives who we derive from never been known to ingest anything bigger than a flea or a bug?
That's not really true, though, because there's monkeys, and there was a monkey at the zoo, and I put a crayfish in its cage, and it happily ate the whole crayfish.
Yeah, well, I also went to the zoo and gave a monkey a cigarette, and he smoked it.
But there actually are monkeys on islands that actually do catch crabs and eat them. And actually, there's the chimpanzees. They kill bush babies. You know what a bush baby is? It's not a racist term. It's a real animal, Sharon. And these little bush babies, they live inside these trees, and the monkeys come along with sticks, and they just stick the stick in these little holes, and they just stab in there. They don't even know if there's a bush baby in there or not, but they probably think there is. And then afterwards, they eat the bloody pulp out of the tree.
Bush babies are nature's candy, according to from their perspective.
Right.
Well, maybe I mean there could be a sense of entitlement in my last 12 years of being a vegetarian, of living in a country and growing up in Iowa, where it's such a meat-loving environment, where maybe it is a sense of entitlement where I say that I have the opportunity to think of the feelings that these animals have, and I think that's one of the, I don't believe in religion, but I do believe in the intelligence of the human being to sympathize.
What about your own? What about your own
of creatures?
Right. What about your own personal health concerns? Do you have any health concerns about leading a vegetarian diet?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Do you have
taking a shot of Maker's Mark, which is completely vegan?
Do you feel though? Like, are there any health consequences though to leading a vegetarian diet?
Are you getting the
nutrition you need?
You look fabulous. You are, have the twiggy body, but we worry that one day being a vegetarian is going to catch up with you.
I don't think so. You can. I mean, you can get just as much proteins, your B12s, and all the most vital nutrition that comes from meat from anywhere. And we can look at tons of species. I mean, I think it's 82% of American species or Earth species that don't consume animals that live on plant-based nutrition. And so no, I mean, I wouldn't know because I'm an alcoholic and a drug abuser, so I can't really tell where how well my health is going.
Or what's the cause of it?
Because I've just known some people that like go vegetarian and they're just like, oh, I just thought you were sick.
Right. And there is a lot of guilt with vegetarianism because I have to think about the dairy markets and, at least in the meat markets, they're being killed to be eaten. And in terms, I almost feel guilty about not being a vegan because, the dairy industry keeps them alive and creates an environment where these animals find themselves to be pregnant So can you even imagine the hormonal indifferences of that? So, I mean, there's a lot of hypocrisy. There's a lot of, and I'll be the first one to say that there's a lot of, what do you call it when you say something but you mean another thing?
Double speak?
Double speak, I guess, yeah.
Talking about one side of their mouth and meaning another.
Word that I can't remember right now because I'm sitting watching Golden Girls in Pittsburgh in my local fag bar.
You're back in Pittsburgh?
Oh, that's so nice. For 42 hours. Oh. Yeah. I was supposed to go to L.A. to go to the premiere of All Stars, but I wanted those girls just to shine as bright as the top of the Chrysler Building. And
yeah, they would have been in your shadow. For sure.
No, they wouldn't have been in my shadow.
That's really what you meant to say.
3 inches long.
A very thin shadow, but a very long one.
How was Rocky Horror going? I saw a video online. You looked fabulous, and you sounded fantastic.
San Antonio.
Thank you. For the first time in my life, I can't make a joke about it. I'm really proud of myself. I'm living pretty much in hell and trying to make heaven out of it. And I love the show, and I love the opportunity the cast and the directors have given me to breathe new life into a character we're all so familiar with.
So, to explain to listeners, you spent the last month in San Antonio, Texas, in the heart of the South, playing the role of Dr. Frankenfurter in the stage production of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I lost 7 pounds, because there's no vegetarian food in that town at all.
So, what you been eating?
What have I been eating?
Yeah.
Bread.
Oh, that's bread. Terrible.
Whatever they throw the ducks on the river walk, I run out and grab it.
A little burrito. So you've been eating meat then, is what you're saying.
I accidentally eat meat 2 times already since I've been there in 1 month.
Here's a little trick. Black beans, by tradition in Mexican cuisine, are vegetarian.
Well, yeah, but then I found out that there's lard in the tortillas, there's animal byproducts in the beans, I went to the finest Tex-Mex restaurant in San Antonio, and I ordered the vegetarian enchilada, and there was chicken inside, and the chef's explanation was, I wanted to make it better for you because you're a star.
Oh, but I have a question about the PETA ad with the decapitated body parts, the hand, the chopped off hand as a fascinator, as an fashion accessory. Did you get that idea from us?
No. That was before that you and me played chopped off limbs game. But but those pieces actually came from the movie Saw. The Saw.
Really?
The Saw horror movies.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so they're like primo chopped off limbs. Those aren't no...
They looked really good.
Yeah, those aren't no cheap, chopped off limbs. And they look great in the photo. Unfortunately, they liquefied my waist terribly. If you look at it, there's a weird kink in my waist.
Oh, really? let me see.
No, but I thought
I have, anytime I can show up and dump a bucket of blood over my face, I'm game.
I absolutely love that look for you. I think, you were meant to in this world to perpetually be Carrie in the prom scene.
Right, and when thank you. That is on Broadway, so if the listener, the director of the revise of Carrie the musical is listening, I am now an established stage actor. But when it boils down to it, my mouth does so much wrong, so I just wanted to do some good. And what's weird is the second I try to do some good, I got the worst press I've ever gotten in my life.
What's the worst reaction you've gotten from somebody?
They all sound the same. They all sound the same. It's all like, Sharon, we loved you. We lose respect for you now. You've worked with PETA, which is something we don't respect. And, they're terrorists. And they kill more animals than they save. And I was like, I don't give a fuck what PETA does. I don't give a fuck what you do. I don't give a fuck what RuPaul does. But if I find that there's a place where I can put a little essence of how I feel, I jump at the opportunity. I grew up with cows, pigs, and chickens, and I never wanted them to be food. I just wanted them to be my friend. And I really think it is, I didn't know how much of that gore stuff they were going to show in the commercial, but like I can't even watch it myself because it's just
really the stuff. It's really pretty tame.
It's yeah, for PETA standards. Usually, it's the, you know, they're showing the head of the cow being cut off, and in the video, it's just the neck being cut. So it's not that big of a deal.
Well, I mean, I'm cool, so I don't watch PETA videos, but I was really shocked by how dark that they take it, but I'm glad to put my face with something so gory and so real, you know. And I'm a sick motherfucker, so you know, I like being associated with these true scenes of hardcore in your face death, and I think it rattles anyone who watches it. Anyone.
Well, and also in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, or the Rocky Horror Show, the stage production, you, as Frankenfurter, you actually do chop and eat Eddie, right?
Yeah, spoiler.
Spoiler alert there.
You know, he, we had a mental relationship, but he had no muscle, you know, so he deserved to go.
Now, the guy who plays Rocky in the stage production, we saw the video, he had a banging hot body.
Have you tapped that
yet? Yeah, he does.
Have you tapped it?
I'm a happily married woman.
So yes. Good girl. It's like, when I find some dicks that don't want to suck, I'll give you a call.
Well, I'm a less femme knightly, so you get used to it really fast. And it doesn't become it's not a sexual thing. It's more like you know, like, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Hint, I'm lying.
I'm really not into you.
Now, you did Silence of the Trans, now Rocky Horror Show. It's like, do you feel like you're sort of going in the direction of being one of those Broadway stars, or you're going to do like One Night at the Riviera?
Rent is the worst musical ever written, and I'm really disappointed with where Broadway's going. It's like instead of allowing young playwrights who can write such beautiful pieces about humanity and the internal struggle, they take a movie that has been somewhat successful at the box office and try to figure out a way to recreate it on a stage, like with Spider-Man and Adam's Family and what's that Saget musical about the boy who sings and dances, and
Billy Elliot.
Right, Billy Elliot.
And then you can do the big jump at the end.
Go Billy! It was pretty awful.
That's right, Billy Elliot.
I don't, you know, I think that of all of them, I saw all of them.
It's disappointing to see that films are being recreated. And I wouldn't be so crazy about it if the right films were being told and turned into Broadway plays.
Like, there actually is.
If Killer Clowns from Outer Space became a musical, I'd be game. If Death Becomes Her became a musical. I'm actually in the works of trying to write Married with Children as an off-Broadway musical.
Hot.
Hey, I got a question. Is Katie Seagal heard about your Peg Bundy, or have you guys ever gotten to chat?
She's too big of a star, and she's too pretty and effortless and fantastic and perfect. And hey, can I get another Corona? And but I saw her on the Roseanne roast and was just in awe of her.
Didn't she look fantastic?
And just flawlessness. And Katie Seagal is, she's not just Peggy Bundy. She really is. She's the underappreciated Meryl Streep. She really is. She's between Meryl Streep and Angelica Houston, and really should have gotten a lot more film roles than she did. I mean, for fuck's sakes, Al Bundy or Ed O'Neill got Dutch.
Well, did you watch the whole Roseanne roast? I thought it was awfully strange that Roseanne was like, I don't like that joke. I don't understand what you're talking about. Why are you comparing me to Jabba the Hutt?
Who's Jabba the Hutt?
I was too much uncomfortably nudged by Carrie Fisher's constant referral to periods and old age jokes. You know, it's a roast. You have to be open for everything. You can't just discriminate against the things your rotten body are going through.
Well, the funny thing about Carrie Fisher is that she loves her gays, and we.
Well,
got to talk to her.
Tammy Faye. Once the money's dried up and you're insane, you'll adhere to any fan base. And I kind of have a love and a hate for those type of stars that tend to embrace gay communities after they embrace them.
I think Carrie Fisher, though, it's
the same way. She's very anti-gay until she ran out of money. That's why I have her tattooed on my arm.
But Carrie Fisher's been very pro-gay for years, and it's like...
I think she married a gay man, didn't she?
She married a gay man, yeah. And she's also...
She's like Liza.
She also was a Barbara Streisand dressed up as a S&M dominatrix and whipped Harrison Ford on the set of Indiana Jones.
And Faustin, we asked her about it, and she's like, I don't remember that, of course.
But maybe I did. I get electroshock therapy every... 6 months and
four weeks or six months well,
and then she grabbed my arm.
If you remember that, you were 32 years old when that came out.
But she grabbed my arm and she would not let go of me until finally her publicist had to separate us.
Yeah, it was the weirdest experience. She was like, "Gay man, I must have him."
She wanted to fuck me.
Well, I got wasted with Lindsay Lohan and Rose McGowan's makeup artist last week, but I'm not bragging about it.
What? Are you lying?
No, I'm not lying.
The makeup artist for them.
No, no. Lindsay Lohan was hanging out with Rose McGowan's makeup artist.
Actually, Lindsay Lohan.
So what did Lindsay Lohan have to say to you?
I think that's all I heard.
Really?
Yeah, we were in the exclusive basement club of the Dream Hotel in Manhattan last week while I was shooting for Top 100 for Out Magazine.
Oh, are you supposed to leak that?
I don't care, or no.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, finally somebody actually does things in the Out 100.
What did you wear?
Well, they wanted to do something really out there. They wanted to do something a drag queen has never done. So they had me dress up as Marilyn Monroe with my skirt blowing up.
Oh, God, brother.
Geniuses over there.
Are you kidding me?
You know, if anybody can pull it off, girl, it's you. For sure.
But still. For sure. I think everybody listening to this is groaning.
I mean, who cares? I'll probably rip the cover for me just for saying that, but who cares?
Oh, were you supposed to get the cover?
You can't live your life in slavery to what other people think or what you say, you know. But like my manager always says, Sharon, you're not a slave because slaves didn't get paid.
David is right. But you guys fight so much, though.
What's that?
You and your manager are just like a married couple.
I hate him.
Last time you were on the show...
I hate him. He's like Rosie the Robot without a Brooklyn accent.
Mr. J, you need to go perform on the stage now.
No, I would respond to that. I mean, if the eyes blinked tilt and there was a little red light on the top of the head, I'd be much more apt to listen, but... he's a heartless monster that only has my best interest in need. So it's a love-hate relationship.
You can hear our interview with David Charpentier, Sharon Needles' manager, on our site, feastoffun.com. Just search David Charpentier, where he talks about all the dirty secrets of celebrities, writers that he has to work with over the last 10 years.
And if you want to hear something more interesting, listen to Crickets.
Actually, that was a very fun show.
It was
enjoyed
a very good
show.
Interview.
Hey, Sharon, last time you were on the show with Alaska, you were kind of like dropping hints about like a magazine article that kind of got out of hand. And at the time, I didn't really realize what it was, but then I got to go back and read it. And in that magazine article, you actually said that you're bigger than RuPaul and that you actually got some shade from that.
Oh, hello, Shane.
Tell us.
Hello, Shane.
Now, what exactly happened here?
Some people are very honest and would rather speak to people that actually document their real voice. And some people take what someone said and manipulate it to severe extents to sell magazines that are in the shitter. I mean, you take that for what you want, girl.
So, are you saying they, like, spliced and diced your words?
I think there's two types of journalism. There's MSNBC, there's Fox News, and then there's CNN, and I'm CNN. I'd rather be documented for me in real time opposed to people saying things without knowing the reflection of my voice, the sarcasm, the campiness, the joke, they, you know.
Oh, so you're trying to be tongue-in-cheek, and they took you at face value.
Or just completely writing things that were never said, or untruths. I mean...
Well, you could have said you're bigger than Jesus.
That really hurt me and a lot of friends.
You're bigger than Satan.
A lot of coworkers, a lot of industry people, and and there was no way I could describe it, because when you read it, it's true. It doesn't matter if you're Joe Schmo in St. Louis, Missouri, or if you're top of your game in the industry. When you read it, and you believe it, and I'll and if I can take anything from that experience, it was a life lesson. And so now, when I talk to the press that write about me, I just give them a good glossy answer, whatever. You know,
you say, "Oh,
whatever
girl,
the fuck they want to hear." And like, and I've told you boys this on several occasions, usually off of script or off of the phone, that I like talking to you boys because you just use what I say. You don't try to manipulate it into anything that it isn't. And
that sounds like a threat.
What I was asked was, do you think that your fans, the underbelly freak goth punk fags of America, find you bigger than RuPaul? And I said, to those underground kids who identify with me, I think they probably do look at me as their new RuPaul, and that's not what they documented.
Mm. I think that's a fair statement to make, and I think that RuPaul would agree with
that. Right,
I
think that's a fair statement
to
make.
You know what? The only person who hasn't thrown me shade about that article is RuPaul herself. She's just like, girl, I understand. The media will make you into anything they want.
Well, we talked to Michelle Visage about it, and she said, well, I can't defend what Sharon said, but I defend Sharon because I like Sharon. And Sharon's
cool.
Well,
I think Michelle has been in the game long enough to know that you can be misinterpreted. You can, or you can even just be speaking in a bad mood. I mean, you forget that stars are people that have this bizarre thing called serotonin and emotions that can be run dry or run very high. And
add some chemicals to the mix.
A famous black philosopher once said, what other people think of me ain't none of my goddamn business, and that person's name was RuPaul. So
she also said that if they don't pay you any money, you don't pay them any mind. And she also said, don't be throwing no shade. I just want to get paid.
That's right. And after that interview, I was so distraught, and I felt so ruined.
You did? But why are you letting these stupid media hacks get to you?
Any wisdom you can give. And she goes, you can't change yesterday. You can't predict tomorrow. You only have today. Fuck it. And that was, I mean, their words to live by.
Sharon, but why are you letting these people get to you so much?
Because I'm human, and it was written in the celebrities that I would be a star, and I'm designed to aim to please, and at the same time aim to thrill. So I'm probably my own worst enemy. I'm like the letter handed to Inspector Gadget. I will destruct in 3 seconds, and you know, I'm designed to. I want love, but I also want to push everyone's buttons. I'm a conundrum, and the worst thing about the whole thing is that I'm aware of it. I'm aware of my destructiveness, and it's a real kick in the dick.
Well, you know, I thought it was
I'm smart, stupid, and I'm an idiot savant, and
well, I kind of like Faust and I last time that we talked, we thought, well, you know, Sharon's really going to make it because of that thing that you said to us. You said, you know, there's a pile of cocaine in front of me right now, but I'm not going to do it because I'm a celebrity. And that's what celebrities do. They sit in front of piles of cocaine and they don't do it because they know they have to get up tomorrow and they have to do other things.
The sick thing is I probably did it.
Oh, come on. Aww. Well, listen, you strike me as a person who's very grounded. You have a great sense of humor about yourself. And sometimes you have a deep, big heart. And you just gotta, you know, think of it as a prank. Like that guy who threw shit at the audience. What was the guy in New York City? Gigi Allen. You know, it's like...
Don't bring up Gigi Allen with me.
Well, you know, he's part of performance art history. And you may love or hate him. But,
he had an interesting philosophy that he, and his approach.
RuPaul's audition tape, I said I was the Gigi Allen of drag.
And Gigi Allen's approach was like, fuck all this. I'm going to prank the whole premise of being a performer. And he took a shit on stage and threw it at the audience.
No, he didn't take a shit on stage. He threw it in a girl's face, then beat the shit out of her.
Okay, I actually saw video footage of him.
Which is awesome.
Yes, and that's a separate performance. I actually saw him taking a shit on stage and throwing it at an audience. And
my favorite song of his is I Fuck My Brother.
And the thing about it is that what we can learn from it is that sometimes we take ourselves way too seriously as artists, as performers, and we just got to let things roll. Because you can't control when the shit's going to come flying in your face, when somebody on stage is going to punch you.
That lies very contradictive to the openness of social media. It used to be you loved a star, and someone's team of 9 women would sign their signature onto a glossy 8x10 and mail it to you.
Yeah.
Now fans have such a direct line with you through social media. So, and if any one out there thinks that when they write their favorite movie star or their favorite pop star or drag queen or reality star, if they think that their message isn't being read, they have another thing coming. We see it all. And it hurts. It's hard. Social media has raped fame. And
so you feel you've been cheated out of what exactly?
You're cheated out of that elusive club that you worked so hard to be a part of, while at the same time you could not even be a member, because the more honest you are, the more backlash you get from your social media. The more you play cutesy Katie Holmes, fucking, you know, whatever, you're safe. The more honest you are and the more you try to demonstrate a real sense of yourself to the world, it opens up the floodgates for hate. And I wish I could say I was a big enough star that I didn't read my Tumblr, my Twitter, my Facebook. I read it all. And you really have to find that backbone. You really gotta really Andy Warhol yourself to handle it, you know?
Well, it's also the time of day too, you know?
What would Divine have done?
Don't read those things before you're going to go to bed.
Their fans and their social media was so relevant. Yeah.
Listen, I've had hundreds and thousands of people say horrible things about me and Mark. And at the end of the day, I just have to turn to them and say, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to care enough to say something about me.
I've seen you be defensive.
Yeah, totally.
I've watched you be defensive. I've watched you.
Yeah.
You probably had one too many two cocktails in your mouth. Can I get 2 6-packs to go? Just charge me whatever.
$100.
I've seen you be defensive, especially with people who don't want to pay for pizza fun and like Coronas, if I can get them.
So I think, you know, the lesson to be learned is that it's going to hurt your feelings, but at the end of the day, you just got to let it roll, because it's like, focus on the people that do love you, the ones who are here for you, you know?
But is there anything wrong with, you know, where this episode is about animals, is there anything wrong with finding the animalistic approach of defending yourself and defending your kin and your loved ones?
But see, defending yourself means not letting it affect you in an emotional level.
Well, you have to identify the real threats as opposed to like the superficial threats.
I didn't have to deal with what Fifi did, so who cares?
Yeah, I mean, you don't go on stage and have like coins thrown at you like Fifi does. Like, people throw like Skittles and change at her.
I don't have coin thrown at me. I have coin.
Oh, by the way, this is kind of a creepy, weird story. It's like, we were on the phone talking about Sahara Davenport, and then the next day we got the horrifying, shocking, sad news: the Sahara Davenport had died.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, what was your reaction to that?
I was in rehearsal for Rocky Horror Show, and I had a million missed calls. You know, I don't talk on my phone when I'm in rehearsals, and like, wow, something has to be off. I was getting calls from people that I don't really talk to, and sisters from RuPaul that, you know, I don't keep in, you know, really close contact with. I knew something was wrong, and I had a text from a friend that I really don't talk to at all, saying, is it true about Sahara? And that's when I knew. I didn't have to ask any questions. I knew. I heard through the grapevine that Sahara was dealing with some health issues or whatever. Before the crowning of my season, me and Sahara had some bad words with each other, you know, and this and that about something I'd said or supposedly said or whatever. But when it boils down to it, all I could think about was Manila. And me and Manila are best friends, but I definitely consider her a great entertainer. And I've always said this underneath the name RuPaul. If anyone could ever be called the dictionary definition of a drag queen, it would be Manila Luzon. Mm. And I started thinking about Alaska, and then Alaska started calling me because I was out of town, and she was really upset. Just, you know, it kind of... Manila and Sahara were the world's most famous drag couple, and probably second to them was... probably me in Alaska, and I always thought it was fun that, you know, we were kind of the punk drag couple and they were the polished drag couple, and it was, I just couldn't imagine what Manila was feeling through all that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're having a memorial performance in New York.
I think on November 2nd at XL?
Yeah. So for those of you who want to check it out, go see it and let us know how it was.
Yeah, it should be a great show. Yeah. I'm choosing to stay out of it. As far as I'm concerned, you know, my performance would give no solace or a pat on the back or a warm hug, and it's not my show.
Mm-hmm.
But my deepest sympathies and my heart really goes out to Manila. I can't even, I mean, no tea, no shade. I can't even imagine what she's dealing with.
And you just saw her a couple weeks ago, no, in Texas?
I saw her about a week and a half before Sahara passed. We had two bottles of Prosecco and had a, you know, a great vegetarian dinner. And,
in Texas,
and what a strong character to she eluded no anxieties or you know, something in the back of her mind that was making her less of Manila that we know of Manila. Mm. And if I never gave Manila props, I definitely give them to her now, because I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
If I lost Alaska, I don't know how I would pick up the pieces. But, yeah, she's cool. She's cool in my book. And in terms of the All-Stars intro commercial, she looks sickening.
I think she updated her Facebook pretty recently that said, you know, we talk, like, they mentioned Sahara quite a bit on All-Stars, and she said, we talk about her in the present tense, and he goes, and I just feel, it feels really cool to me that She'll have that too.
She'll always be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about it is, you know, all relationships, all beautiful things come to an end, and you have to
not
always
like that though. That is that's not normal. It's not normal.
Well, obviously,
for a
yeah.
healthy,
horrible
dancer,
things are going to happen to very good
who,
people.
Is actually college educated and.
But he had a bad heart, right?
It's just not normal. I don't know, yeah. And I don't know, and I don't care. I have found that too many queens have wanted to invest their own personal status and fame into the hardships of what Manila's had to go through. So I just stay out of it. I don't want to associate myself. I don't want to make my fame bigger by someone else's. Severe pain.
Mm-hmm.
That's not cute. And
So you think some queens are taking advantage of it?
I think it was me, because I'm not one of those drag queens that wants some straight dude to pound them out. You know, mm-hmm. I know what it's like to find a warm hug and solace and dating another entertainer, because they're the only people that understand you.
Well, you know, it's like horrible things are going to happen to very good people. What we need to make sure is that we cherish every moment that we have together, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
It's true. It's true. And I think about the ego and the loneliness of this career. And I just, my heart goes out to Manila so much.
This is a really weird blog entry that I found, and I don't know how I stumbled across it. It was the richest drag queens in the world.
Oh, yeah. Read us the list.
So some drag queen figured out what this was in 2010. So it's a couple years out of date, but what these drag queens are net worth are. So can you guess who is the richest drag queen in the world? It's not you.
The richest drag queen in the world would be, who's that one with the purple hair and the crazy glasses? That's a comedian.
Dame Edna is way on the bottom of that list. Actually, on the top of that list is Frank Marino, whose estimated net worth is $12.5 million.
Oh, the from Las Vegas legendary celebrity impersonator.
Yeah, and he was on the Millionaire Matchmaker episode once.
Yes, so he's the richest drag queen in the world. At 12 million, the second richest drag queen is Shishi LaRue with 7.7 million for her porn industry.
Of course, because of her porn pioneer.
And then, of course, third is RuPaul with the success of RuPaul's Drag Race. Then Dame Edna is fourth.
Jackie B.
Nowhere near on that list. Dame Edna,
she's beating her financial advisor in the head right now.
So why am I not on this
the
list?
The strangest person that's on this list is Misunderstood, who used to be a regular guest on our show. It says here that she makes $3.7 million from her,
that's her net worth, or she makes that?
A net worth. This is all net worth. Yeah.
And she owns ScreamingQueens.com, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
I find it hard to believe.
Aren't I knowledgeable?
Yes. But $3.7 million? Really?
That seems awfully
high. You think Alex is really worth that
much?
I
don't think Alex is making that much money.
Well, the decibel needs to be moved a couple of meters away from that zero, but I love the tale.
Shengay.
And I'm a huge fan of hers. She used to be a huge queen at Lucky Chang's in New York.
Yes.
A recently debunked Lucky Chang's, which is used to be my favorite bar in Manhattan after Mars Bars was closed down.
Shengay Lily is worth $3.1 million.
I have no idea who that
is.
I have
no idea what that is. And the Lady Bunny actually is worth $1.8 million.
I don't believe that either.
And hot
why hasn't she moved from the Lower East Side?
You tell me, maybe.
Apartment.
She might just be cheap. You know, she might be one of those rich kooks.
Well, cocaine is expensive.
Well, you know, one of my gown makers who will go on names said that they are in debt to her for tons of money for costumes that weren't paid for.
Ooh. Chris March.
But you know what? I'd love a queen that stiffs a costume maker. I respect a thief.
Hot Chocolate Larry Edwards is worth $1.5 million. Victoria Porkchop Parker, $1.05 million.
She was eliminated from the very first episode of RuPaul's Drag Race on the first season.
That's what it says.
Imagine how much money it takes for a surgeon to replicate a Deep Space Nine nose piece on
her. My God. that's so weird.
That three-hump ridge on the bridge of her nose. Look close, darling. It's there.
I know. Believe me.
I once paid her $30 to perform. Now I'm telling you. In the basement of a downtown Pittsburgh club, and that was 1 year ago.
So this is in 2011. She was paid $30 to perform in the basement. So maybe this list is a little bit off, just a little bit off.
Because I'm not at the top of it.
Maybe she has some land in Tennessee or something. I don't know.
So you're saying you're doing pretty well?
I'm not hurting, but I definitely I definitely put it right back in, you know, and I put a little bit too much faith in me being right all the time, you know. So I burn a lot of money.
So did your
I'm reading some of these queen comments, and they're just like, who came up with this list? Pork Chop with a Million, I Love Chop, and Victor spent almost 2 weeks at my house for a Sundance Film Festival when Pageant came out, but I know she's not a millionaire. Sleeping on her couch.
But so are you saying that David Charpentier, your manager, has set up a trust fund for you because you can't be trusted with money?
Is he getting a conservatorship like Britney Spears has on you?
Yeah, I guess so. That's the answer. Because your mom actually likes me because I said, she's like, girl, save your money because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Well, and she was like, that's right. You know, a year ago I was paying the rent with the penny jar, and then that house was burnt down. And
I'm so sorry for laughing at your house.
I don't really worry about money, but I've recently become aware that it's not always going to be there. That's a weird thing about money is if you give it to someone who's never had it, they get ridiculously comfortable with it quite quickly, you know, and you realize you can't buy serotonin.
I got a perfect thing.
I mean, you can buy ecstasy, but
I got a perfect thing for you to waste your money on. And these are from Fantich and Young. They're Predator shoes, and they're men's shoes, and I assume they come in women's pumps as well in size 12, made with the bottom of them with human teeth. The bottom of them are lined with human teeth.
1,150. They say teeth dentures. I don't think they're real teeth. Real teeth would crack if you walked on
them. And they also make clothes and leather jackets covered in human hair.
And glass eyes.
Well, that's cute. I could make that in a weekend, but I still buy $20 pleasers. And I paint the bottoms with them with red nail polish to make them look like Louis Vuitton.
Well, we ran into you in San Francisco, and you were like gushing over the fact that you'd gotten some pumps that were covered in thumbtacks.
Well, that's because I was shopping drunk.
And you're like, you wouldn't take off those shoes. You wore those shoes for the entire weekend. You loved them.
You wore the same underwear the entire weekend. I wasn't judging you.
No, my underwear was left in your hotel room. You all know that.
Yuck.
How's your...
I got a $300 cleaning bill.
How's Alaska? How's he doing?
Alaska is sitting right next to me. We're in the car. I just flew into Pittsburgh last night, and I hadn't been here for over a month. And I'm like, let's go to a gay bar. And we went to a gay bar. There was no one in it, but they were playing Golden Girls on all the screens. So Alaska was thoroughly entertained.
Mm. Oh, that's so nice.
You tell Alaska a ball of whiskey and a Golden Girls marathon, and it's like, why hire a babysitter?
He loves you so much. It's like I've observed him backstage gently and preciously combing your wigs. It's something to see.
Well, Alaska happens to love me and love hair, so it's a win-win.
Well, I hate to disappoint our listeners, but there's conflicting stories about the Million Muppet March that's scheduled to happen on November 3rd in the mall in Washington. It may or may not happen, so right now, if you want to go learn about it, go to millionmuppetmarch.com.
What are the Muppets marching for?
For to save PBS, because the Republicans are trying to threaten to cut funding, and if Mitt Romney wins the next election, for Big Bird.
Well, then maybe PBS should invest in a little more reality shows focusing on people that already have too much money that suffer through white people problems.
Would you if Sesame?
Yeah. Yes, and we can just watch all the documentaries you want on Netflix.
If Sesame Street invited you to do something with the Count, would you do it?
I love the Count. He can count higher than I can, and he's a vampire. So yeah, I love her.
They actually phased out the fact that he was like sinister. What?
I don't have any.
Oh, she's talking to Alaska there.
Yeah, she wants cigarettes.
No, my ride from Lady Potatoes, the most legendary drag queen ever.
Lady Potatoes?
I don't know. Well, Sharon Needles, the time has come to end this podcast.
It was about fucking time.
We had a fantastic time with you. we've spent other times talking on the phone until 5 in the morning, but...
Well, I know. You guys are, you're the sleuth of the truth, as Shangela would say. So it was,
Well, we always love it. I laugh at a lot of things to guests say, but...
I knew that you were the only boys to talk to about it.
Mm.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of guests that make Mark laugh.
There's a lot of them that make me laugh, but you actually, when you talk and you say some of your funny things, it's like a full belly laugh. You're a very funny person. If this drag thing doesn't work out, consider stand-up comedy.
No, because they always end up getting fat or killing themselves.
Well, you know, it's just something different.
There are worse things that could happen to you.
Mm-hmm. No one likes a stand-up comic. They always want attention on stage. Who does that?
People telling jokes.
So are you going back to San Antonio now, or where's...
I go back in 22 hours.
Oh, my God.
For the next couple of weeks, right?
How do you do, Rise? You've met my... handyman.
That's every drag queen's dream to play that character.
You're for the four drag queens in the world who know what that show is.
Hey, does your Brad have like a Mexican accent?
Nobody is Mexican.
Okay.
Because we were saying that Brad Majors looked a little bit like Meatloaf. In the, you know like what I'm saying?
Brad Dado.
He looked like he had an extra
Mexican
serving of mashed potatoes.
Your show, or they would like be like putting you in a firing squad.
What?
What are you talking about?
I like Mexicans.
You're judging Mexicans right now, and I'm shaming you for it.
I'm not judging all Mexicans. I'm saying that the Brad...
San Antonio Woodlawn Theater playing Frankfurter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show until the 27th of October, 2012.
I'll have you know, Sharon, most of the guys I sleep with are Mexican. FYI.
Yeah, I'm not racist. I have sex with Mexican men all the time.
I love a Latino.
And when when there's no Latin Americans to masturbate or have sex with, I masturbate with myself, and that technically counts as well.
I know. Well, my thing is I can't believe that most hotels use the cleaning product spick and span. It just seems like they're rubbing it in their face.
What are you talking about? Are you back in your hotel now?
No,
but I'm in hotels a lot, and I have a lot of Latino cleaning ladies, and they always have a bottle of spick and span in their hand, and I just find it completely racially insensitive.
Oh.
Well, you just listen. All you got to do is tip them and smile to the cleaning ladies and be friendly with them. You know, that's like
I'm an over tipper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
And just say ¿Cómo estás?
Gracias por limpiar mi cuarto.
I'm
yo
gay,
sé.
I have no children, and I make my fortune off of mishmashing my mouth around the songs I practically don't know.
She's like, Miss Needles, do you want the bloodstained clothes to be dry cleaned?
And I say, that's not blood, that's pee.
And we cleaned up the vomit of the bathroom. Please vomit into the toilet next time, okay?
Oh, will you be puking into your sheets every night?
I think Sharon Needles and her maid needs a tour.
Yeah.
Well, you're monsters.
Maybe you can get little Kenya Michaels to play your maid.
She doesn't clean.
Just don't ask Latrice or Dina Ritz, because they do not like to be called
to
help.
I actually called Latrice Royale to see if she would be an adverse... voice to this food topic, and she said, I'd love to. When do I do it? And I said, in a half an hour. And she goes, I go on stage at Mickey's in Los Angeles in a half hour. I can't do it. But she was more than game, because she just loves you guys.
Oh,
well, we're going to talk to her soon. So, you know, as soon as the first episode of All Stars airs, we'll get her on the show, and she's going to give us all the dirt. She's going to make us eat it.
Girl, it's going to be like a grave digger in there. There's going to be so much dirt.
I just, you know, I know that you're a huge star, and it's like, but I'm so heartbroken that you're not on All Stars. You know, it's because I would
love
to
see...
What's
all the losers on All Stars?
No, it's all the All Stars. It's the stars of the
shows. Yeah, but nobody that won.
Well, obviously.
I always say, when RuPaul says, it's time to crown... the queen of queens. I'm like, no, RuPaul, it's time to crown the queen of second chances.
But I'd love to, you know, I just absolutely so looking forward to that show. It's been.
I am so excited. I won't even let the queen spill the tea to me.
It's directed by the same guy who directed all the seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. So it has that same pacing and wit and intelligence that all those shows are. Because really a reality show is only as good as its editors and director. Mm-hmm. Besides the talent.
That's true.
You know, and it's like...
Wait, hold on. I have to take a shit, but I'm going to let you say goodnight to Alaska Thunderfuck.
Okay.
goodbye.
Goodbye, Sharon. Hello, Alaska.
Hello, Alaska.
Hey, girl.
What's happening?
Not much.
Which Golden Girls episode did you watch tonight?
Are you there? Are you awake?
Hello?
Hi, what's up?
It's good to see you, or hear you. We miss you, baby.
Oh, it's good to hear you guys, too. How are you?
I miss you, baby. I'm looking forward to seeing you more, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. No, I know you will. I thought I had your phone number on my phone, and we accidentally called some guy I used to hook up with in L.A.
Really?
Who was named Fausto.
Oh, hot. No, thinking
it
was me?
It was you. But this was like 100 years ago.
Well, you and I have had a little bit of a sexual tension with each other.
But you never hooked up.
Mulder and Scully, right?
It never actually happened, but I can see the hungry eyes.
You're terrible. Shut up.
Oh, you're so cute. I was just like, I took a bunch of pictures of you squatting down on Sharon's suitcase, combing her wigs, and taking a nice picture of your hot ass.
Mm-hmm. And he posted it to Creep Shots.
Oh, please.
Yeah, you got a great body, man.
Oh, well, I'm sure you would know about that. No, you know, I'm glad you had an interview with my boyfriend for 3 hours. Is this all going to the fucking radio? Who listens to an interview that long?
The Lots fans. Of people,
the fans, the listeners.
The fans, baby. This is also part of it, you know.
No, that's great.
What's Sharon like in bed?
Fantastic.
Who's the top and who's the bottom? Are you guys versed? Do you hand job it?
You know what? I am a fisting power bottom, and so if I don't have a fist in my ass, I can't even come.
I don't believe you. You're all talk and no walk.
That's what our sex life consists of.
I'm going to have to look at Sharon's hands, whether they're big or not.
Sharon's hands are pretty big.
They're huge.
Yeah. I have small hands.
It's like a gorilla's elbow.
Now, are you a vegetarian?
What?
Are you a vegetarian?
I am. We both are.
Did she force you into it, or is it something you came to on your own?
When we met, we were both vegetarians, and that's just how it is.
Hey, here's a question. Why are so many LGBT folks vegetarians? What's up with that?
Because they're smarter than normal people.
That's not an answer. There's got to be something.
No, that is the answer. Excuse me. Any straight person within the reach of my voice, consider being gay and consider being vegetarian, and you will better the world so much.
Well, is it the idea that like we feel like we don't deserve to take up space in a room, or we don't deserve to get our voices heard, and therefore we don't want to have resources taking resources from the planet?
No, these animals are not resources from the planet. They are animals living on the planet. And they're living in these, they're just shitting on each other in these really confined.
If you could be any,
from LA,
she already gave us that spiel.
Okay.
If you could be any ant.
If you take the not scenic route, you will drive past the longest stretch of cow farm you've ever seen.
Yeah, we call it Cowschwitz.
Cowschwitz. You're yes. So right. It smells like
thank you, Sabrina.
And it looks terrible. And you're just driving for hours, and you're just seeing cows as far as the eye can see.
Miserable
that
cows,
is
yes.
Fucked up. Mm. That's not right.
So when we say here, meat is murder, isn't that just making, as Stephen Colbert says, meat murder more enticing because meat is delicious?
No, the truth is meat is not delicious. That's like saying tofu is delicious. It's not delicious unless you season it and treat it with like salt and like flavors and marinate it. It's not good by itself.
Nobody puts soy flavoring into foods. Nobody puts soy flavoring into foods. They put chicken flavoring into foods. They put beef flavoring into foods. They never put like, oh, this food has lentil flavoring.
Fake. It's like you put the seasoning on the meat because the meat is blank, and so is tofu. So just like change over. Your body will adjust. Get over it. Shut up. Stop eating fucking Wendy's hamburgers.
I don't even think those are mostly meat. If you could come back as any animal, what would it be?
If I could come back as an animal, I would come back as a cat.
Why?
Because our cat, Saron, is the cutest little cat you've ever seen in your life.
Because you're a big pussy cat.
I'm a big pussy, that's right.
Wow. Alaska, it's always a pleasure talking to you. We got to wrap
you
this up.
Too.
And Sharon Needles, I guess she's like on the
she's
can.
She might need your help wiping her ass. So see if she's passed out on there. Does she ever pass out on the toilet? Where's the funniest place Sharon's passed out?
She was pooping out her vegetarian poop, which is much better than cannibalistic poop. So take that into consideration, motherfucker.
Actually, a lot of vegetarians eat a high-carb diet, which is not good. Does not make for good poop.
We don't. Why do you think we look so fit and gorgeous like we do?
I just thought it was all the piles of cocaine you guys snort all the time.
You're right. If you could find good cocaine in Pittsburgh, please let me know. Because
it's not the 80s anymore, huh?
Oh, man. And if you talk about exploitation of animals, cocaine is one of the worst. Seriously.
Cocaine is not made out of animals. That don't even come from me.
Well, human beings are living creatures, and cocaine exploits the people who are forced into labor to make it.
Insane.
Check out some documentaries on YouTube, man. Just search manufacturing of cocaine in Colombia. It is depressing. It makes like Auschwitz look like a happy place.
Oh,
swear to God. Sharon Needles,
well,
Alaska.
Yeah. I was vegan.
What?
I never said I was vegan. I'm just vegetarian.
That's okay. It takes all kinds to make a world.
Baby, we absolutely love the two of you, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys when next time you're in Chicago, and Oh, what are you guys going to dress up for Halloween? We forgot to ask you that.
I'm going to dress up like Ace Ventura, and she's going to dress up like The Mask.
Oh, that's adorable.
You're making that up.
No, it's going to be the Jim Carrey Christmas.
I love it. Guys, have a wonderful Halloween, unpleasant dreams.
What are you guys going as for Halloween?
Skeletons.
We got inspired by Sharon's skeleton unitard, and so we're going as skeletons.
But like manly versions of that.
We dress like skeletons every day, so we can't do that for Halloween.
Yeah, we're kind of like going as very butch skeletons.
Beefy skeletons.
Are you calling me not butch? Fuck you.
Well, no, you're in drag all the time. Come on.
Thank you so much. And have a great night.
Bye,
take
butch.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Sharon Needles and Alaska Thunderfuck still reside for some reason in Pittsburgh. Because
mm-hmm.
They love it. They love Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is actually like a cool town. It's probably in the top 10 of places I would live in the country, as Pittsburgh is one of them.
Really?
For sure. Well, I also have family there, and it's not too far from where I grew up and where Alaska grew up, just down the road from me, really.
Yeah, you guys are soul sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a sweet transvestite.
Northwestern Pennsylvania.
From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
What if Sharon's still on the toilet?
She'll be in the toilet for the next 2 hours. Mm. That low fiber, high carbohydrate diet.
The whiskey. And
whiskey is not good for you.
Although, you know, that beer makes you shit. So she probably it's probably just like the Hershey squirts in there and...
We never got around to this in the show, but I guess we should save this for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the foods we love that you should be eating, the things that you should avoid eating, mm-hmm. and the supplements and all the things you should be sticking in your body, and the ones that you should stick up your ass or just avoiding altogether.
And we'll be doing this with Brian Sweeney, who has a terrible diet and also just lost his job. But he'll be here to make us happy.
Yeah.
We'll give him a little bit of consolation in the front, but we're not going to let him be a crybaby on the show.
Yeah, and we'll feed him, so.
Feed him, so.
Feed her! Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be talking to you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.